And so this morning we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read verse number 16 through verse number 23, and I'll probably use verse number 22 as a thought. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. How's come necessity is laid upon me? I'm required, I'm duty bound to preach the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Notice here that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that by all means I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I'd like to use as a thought this morning, by all means, save some. You may be seated in the Lord's presence this morning. Thank you for standing. Again, I'd like to say I appreciate all of our listening audience, not just here, but abroad. I want to talk to you this morning about reaching the lost, the people that's wavered from the path, people that we could call unregenerate or wayfaring people, people that's without Christ. That's our mission. And this morning, I might turn a little different direction. I'm just really feeling the heart to turn a little different direction this morning. I'm thinking about the story of the rich man, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That story is in Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16 is where you'll find that story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, the rich man, verse number 16 through verse number 31, the rich man had everything the heart could wish for. You might say he had it all. He had everything that he could want in this life. He had truly been blessed with a lot of riches. You know, when I think about the rich man, I think about his estate. I mean, he had no doubt. Today we'd say he lived in California in one of the upper suburban areas. He was a wealthy man. The rich man had it all in this life. But according to the story, the rich man didn't know the Lord in a free pardon of sin. The rich man had not trusted Christ for eternal life. God had blessed him with a powerful estate. He had no doubt a ranch, and I can see all the royal attendants, all the butlers, all the royal attendants, all of them dressed, you know, in their fancy attire. And they were really serving the rich man's table. Had a big long lane. I can see palm trees all up and down the lane. I can see the royal attendants coming in and out of the lane, you know, trafficking. And they've got their royal garments on, and they're all rich and they're all elite. They got everything this life could offer. But you know, the one thing they didn't have is like a lot of people today, they didn't have Jesus. They did not know Jesus in a free pardon of sin. They had never really took him with inside their heart and made a life commitment to him. They didn't know Jesus. You know, the rich man in this life had it all. He had it all. He thought. But he didn't, because he didn't have Jesus. He was like the rich man that was wealthy, but he was not rich toward God. And so that's the picture I see here with the rich man. He was wealthy in this life. He had all that the heart could wish for in this life. I mean, he really felt the pride of his accomplishments in this life. But again, I want to say, he did not know Jesus in a free pardon of sin. His heart had never been born again. He had never got converted. And so there's where I'm looking this morning. His heart never got converted. I'm really happy that I've had conversion of heart and I've had conversion of soul. You know, the rich man, like I said, he had it all in this life. He thought. But you know, God laid a beggar at his gate. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus' name means God is his help. And so he's laying out there sick. He's really down for the count. I mean, he's really sick. He's sick to the point that the dogs are coming to lick his sores to give him relief. The rich man and his attendants would go in out that lane, and they seen Lazarus laying there at their gate. It never touched her heart. It never touched her heart. The poor beggar's laying there. The poor beggar knows the Lord. The poor beggar is born again. The poor beggar may have been a ministry of the gospel, but he's really down. He needs help. The rich man ignored him. He didn't work against him. He didn't go out and curse him out or tell his attendants to remove him from the landscape. He just had them to drive by and ignore him. How many of you know that speaks volumes of a lot of people today? They see the poor man, the man that's down and out, the man that's sick and crippled, you know, in his life condition. They just see him and they just ignore him. Well, what the rich man didn't know was Lazarus was the measuring rod. See, the rich man didn't know, I'm getting ready to depart this life. I'm getting ready to go out and meet the Lord in the judgment. And Lazarus was the measuring rod in which God was measuring the rich man by. How many of you know the Lord has measuring rods to measure you by? He laid Lazarus there in his desperation to try to reach the heart of that rich man, to try to soften the heart of that rich man, that rich man could find compassion for that beggar and help him, and maybe even that beggar could reach him for Christ. But he ignored him, just like a lot of people today, he ignored him. And so it come about that the beggar died. But, you know, the beggar, there was really a difference in life, yes. The rich man had it all. Lazarus was poor. But when Lazarus died, I mean, he had a celebration. Angels came as his pallbearers and carried him to Abraham's bosom. How many of you realize that's quite an experience? I mean, the angels came and took his soul and carried Lazarus' soul to Abraham's bosom, where he would be in comfort, where he would be in security, where he would be in safety, where he had been the blessing of God for all eternity. Well, you know, it come about that the rich man, he died also. How many of you realize if you go out and look at the tombstones, people die? People die young and old. Infants are there, preemies are there. People die young and old. There's only two that I read about that's never died that in this life. That was Enoch and Elijah. They both, you know, they were translated. You know, Enoch was translated. One day he got closer to God's house than he was his own, and God took him, and he went to heaven to be with the Lord, and he never tasted death. And then there was Elijah. Elijah, that great prophet of fire. That great prophet of fire come about that he died, or he come about that he was on the Jericho road going, traveling for the Lord, and the Lord come down in a chariot and took him home to be with the Lord. He never tasted death in this life. That's the only two. People is going to taste death and die till Jesus comes and takes us all away. The rich man died. He didn't have quite a celebration in his death. No, he didn't. The rich man lifted his eyes up, being in torment. He lifted his eyes up, being in hell. And the rich man had a change of mind when it was too late. The rich man thought, yeah, I need to get a hold of Lazarus. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, and prayed to Father Abraham that Lazarus would come and rescue me, or that Lazarus would come and put a drop of water on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The rich man was comforted in this life. In this life, the rich man had it all. He was setting Jake. He had people serving him, looking up to him. He was probably the CEO of his day. He was a man of wealth and prominence, big name, probably had a good education, knowed a lot about this life, but he died. And when he died without Christ. He died a sinner. He died without hope of the gift of eternal life, that grand gift of eternal life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it is an unspeakable gift. It's an indescribable gift. It's a gift that can't be fully explained because it's a gift that never quits giving. Could you say praise the Lord? Thank God for that gift of eternal life. The rich man missed that gift. That gift was as available to him as it is to you and I. But somehow or another, he spurned the love of God. Somehow or another, he esteemed his position. He esteemed his wealth. He esteemed his prominence. He esteemed all that in this life above the gift of eternal life, the gift that never quits giving. He lifted his eyes up in hell. That is hard to imagine. This is the hardest doctrine to take in the Bible. Is the thought, the doctrine, or the teaching of Christ that people that are unsaved, people that's never received this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, will die and spend eternity? I mean, eternity is never ending. Spend eternity in hell, in a flame of fire, where that the fire can never be quenched. It's darker than the sackcloth of hair, and the fire can never be quenched. You're there, you're trapped in that fire for all of eternity. And I see the suffering of that rich man praying, Abraham, would you just send brother Lazarus? Send Lazarus that he could take a drop of water and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You know, he prayed when it was too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow may be too late. We know that God is full of grace and God full of mercy. And many of us has had chance after chance. But there's going to come a time when you get your last chance. There's going to be that last altar call, that last invitation. And be careful and be sure not to walk away from that opportunity to receive Christ, this great eternal gift, into your heart and life where you can forever reign and live and reign with him forever and ever. The rich man prayed, "Father Abraham, would you just send Lazarus that he would come with a drop of water?" That's not much water, is it? The flame must have been really hot. The place must have been really dark. He must have been in real turmoil, turmoil of mind and thought and pain in body and emotion. Could you imagine being trapped in that pit of eternal burnings? That's where he was at. You know, I don't preach this message very often, but it come to me in the early hour. Warn people to not do what the rich man did. Spurn the love of God. Ignore the invitations. And say no to the Holy Spirit as it convicts you of your sin. And trespass your way into eternal damnation. The rich man, oh, he had friends of mammoth. He had friends in his circle. When you got that kind of money, you can buy them. You can have the worst character in the world. You can be the worst negative in the world, but if you got that kind of money, you can buy friends. No doubt he bought thousands of them. But when he died lost. Lazarus, come and put water on my tongue. I'm being tortured. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said to him, he said, remember in thy lifetime, you received the good things. You had it all. You lived in plush and you lived in wealth and yeah, you had it all in this life. And the Lazarus was sick and Lazarus was poor. Lazarus was a beggar. I kind of believe Lazarus was a preacher. Things had went south for him. He got sick. Preachers get sick. God's people get sick. Sometimes they get healed and sometimes they don't get healed. But he said, remember in your lifetime you had it all. Lazarus didn't have it. But one thing Lazarus did have that the rich man didn't have, he had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was his gold. That was his wealth. That was his gift. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship with Jesus Christ made a difference in this life. It didn't just make a difference for him in this life, but it made a difference in eternity. The rich man in eternity was in torment, and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. Now that's a big difference in eternity. Amen. A difference in life, a difference in death. The angels came and took him away, and a difference in eternity. You know, if Amanda would put it up on the screen, James chapter 5, verse number 19. He that converteth a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, next verse, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's the work of the church. Let a sinner know. If you've erred from the way, it's our responsibility to make it known to him that he's trespassing the error of God's way, and we need to warn him so that his blood will not be on our hand, and give him an opportunity to change his mind, change his way, and make a commitment to Jesus Christ so that he can be forever and eternally saved. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, the rich man, he's in suffering, he's in torment, he's in pain. He's hopeless. He's hopeless. He's down there in hell and he says, prays again. He says, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus back from the dead to my five brethren that are at home, that they don't come to this awful place of torment? For he said, I'm being tormented in this flame. Now notice, in hell, he's changed his mind. In this life, when he had it all, he wasn't a praying man. He wasn't a church man. He was like an outcast, a wayfaring man, a man that was just living for money and the things that money can buy, living for pride, living for fame. Yeah, he was living for all of that. But in hell, when it was too late, he got to thinking of, got a burden for his brothers at home. I would to God that people would get a burden for their family, get a burden for their community before it's too late. He said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus back from the dead that he would witness to my five brethren that they don't come to this awful place of torment? I like how Abraham answered him. He said, if they won't believe the preachers, if they don't believe the law and the prophets, if they don't believe the preaching of the gospel, they're not going to receive Christ through one that raised from the dead. It's going to take more than somebody being raised back from the dead to reach lost souls. Abraham said that won't reach your brothers. Your brothers, what's going to reach them is if there'll be a preacher come their way, if there'll be a witness come their way, and share Christ with them, and the Holy Spirit deals with them and opens their heart for faith, they can then believe, they can repent, they can be saved. Listen, he said, Lazarus coming back from the dead is not going to reach your brethren. What's going to reach your brethren is if an old-time faithful preacher man would come their way and share Christ with them, and the Holy Spirit would prick their heart and open them up to believe and be saved. A lot of people's got a burden, going to have a burden when it's too late. They're going to have a burden for lost people when it's too late. You know, we're living in a time when people's not thinking too much about lost condition. They're not thinking really too much about lost condition. The Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord. He's talking about people dying and being lost. He said, knowing that we persuade men. In other words, it's because of the terror of God's judgment that we should be motivated to evangelize. You know, I'm thinking of John Knox, a great preacher of the 16th century. He was called to preach to the Scottish people. On his knees for lost souls in Scotland, here's how he prayed. He pleaded with God. He said, God, give me Scotland or I die. God, give me Scotland or I die. That's the burden that we need. That's the love that we need for lost souls. My prayer is, God, give me this Whitewater Valley for Christ, or I don't feel that I can go on living. I come down here day after day, night after night, seeking the Lord's face. God, give us souls for our labor. I'm thinking of what Rachel said in Genesis chapter 30. Rachel seen Leah had about 5 sons pulling at her dress tail. She got envious, got jealous. She grabbed a hold of Jacob in her barrenness. And she said, Jacob, give me sons or I'll die. Give me children. Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Now that is the burden of the Lord. That's the passion of the Lord. Give me children or I'll die. And he looked at her and said, Rachel, I'm not in God's stead that I can open your womb. I'm not in God's stead that I can open your womb. But God, a few verses down in that chapter, opened her womb and she gave birth to Joseph. I know we've all read the story of Joseph in the Bible. And it didn't stop there. He continued to keep her own womb open and she give birth to Benjamin. I would to God that we as a church family could get under that burden of the Lord and say, Lord, give me souls lest I die. Lord, I don't feel that I can go on living unless I can reach souls for Christ. How many of you have got that kind of a burden? Let me ask you, do you have a burden? I'm thinking of Hudson Taylor, 19th century English founder of the China Island Mission. As a young man, he looked across the thousands of miles to the unreached multitudes of China. And he cried out to God in that heathen land, that communist country. And he said, I feel that I cannot go on living unless I do something for the lost people in China. I feel that I cannot go on living unless I do something for the lost people in China. Let me say it this way. Tearless hearts can never be made the hearts of passion or the harrows of passion. Are you a passionate soul winner? I won't ask, where's the burden of the Lord today? Where's the commitment to Christ today? Where's the passion to reach lost souls today? If they throw up on the screen, Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. Daniel 12 and 3. Very powerful passage of Scripture. And they that be wise shall shine as a firmament, as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There's an eternal reward to those that will serve lost people. Pray for them. Witness to them. Help them. Feed them when they're hungry. I believe God wants us to have a burden. God wants us to have a burden. Before I preach too long this morning, God wants us to have a burden. God wants us to have passion for lost people. I believe we've got ground to take that's yet for us.